This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, joined by John Morrison. John Morrison is a podcast host and the host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. Every month he joins me for the Culture Corner, connects the dots for us across different genres of music. Hey, John, how's it going?
I'm good, Raina. How you been?
I'm great. What have you brought for us today?
I wanted to switch things up, do a little something different than what we usually do on the Culture Corner. We talk about albums, anniversaries, and that sort of thing. But this month, I wanted to talk about a handful of songs from a person that I consider to be the greatest living songwriter, Mr. Stephen Hardaway Morris, a.k.a. Stevie Wonder. Stevie's work as a songwriter for other artists.
It's a shame the way you play with my emotion. It's a shame the way you mess around with your man. You're like a child at play on a sunny day. First you play with her and then you throw it away.
Stevie Wonder is, of course, known for countless classic songs that he wrote and performed under his own name. But he was, like you say, a prolific writer for other artists. So who are some of the folks Stevie's written for, and why are these songs so important?
Yeah, so many people have interpreted Stevie's songs, sung his music. It's really like a who's who of the greatest musicians of the last five, six decades. Michael Jackson, Chaka Khan, Aretha Franklin. His songs, you know, have been covered by everybody from Prince to Boys to Men, the Beach Boys, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Anybody you could think of who's been a prominent musician has touched one of Stevie's songs at one point. And I think that it just shows how malleable Stevie's songs are, as distinct melodically and harmonically as a lot of his writing is. And lyrically, for that matter, a variety of artists have still been able to take his songs and kind of make them their own.
Yeah, that's how you know somebody's a really gifted songwriter, when the bones of the songs are so, so solid. Okay, so Stevie Wonder, got to start with Motown. How did Motown shape his development as a songwriter?
This story about Stevie working with Motown in the early part of his career is fascinating to me. He signed to Motown when he was 11 or 12 years old in the early 60s. And I'd imagine that environment was probably the greatest musical internship that a young person could ask for, right? So he's around the Supremes, the Temptations, a young Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, even the Funk Brothers, the legendary crew of session musicians that played on a bunch of those Motown classics. It was a special environment, right? A lot of those records were made by committee. It was a deeply collaborative process. And you can tell that Stevie was a young, you know, a genius in his own right, even at that age. But he was soaking up all of this good stuff, too.
You mentioned Smokey Robinson back there. We're going to hear one of the classic Motown songs co-written by Stevie Wonder. Tell us about Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, The Tears of a Clown.
Yeah, Tears of a Clown is definitely an example of how Motown worked as a musical community and how it nurtured Stevie in particular as a songwriter. So the song was composed by Stevie Wonder and the arranger Hank Cosby, who worked on a ton of great Motown records. And the story goes that Stevie and Hank wrote this beautiful, kind of whimsical instrumental track, and they needed a lyric for it. So Stevie brought the track to the greatest lyric writer of his time, Smokey Robinson. And Smokey wrote this beautifully sad lyric about a man who had lost his partner, but he's trying to like put on a brave face for the world. And there's this tension between the words and the upbeat music that Stevie composed that creates this real nice, like, bittersweet dynamic. And it just shows you the resources that Stevie had at his disposal, you know, through working with Motown and being around all those great musicians.
Like the saddest circus of all time is what this song sounds like.
Right.
Tears of a Clown, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles on World Cafe. On World Cafe, I'm Raina Duras talking with John Morrison on the Culture Corner today, talking about Stevie Wonder's work as a songwriter. You just heard a song he co-wrote with Smokey Robinson, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, Tears of a Clown. Throughout the 70s, Stevie Wonder released a string of classic solo albums, but he still wrote for other artists. What can you tell us about Aretha Franklin's Until You Come Back to Me?
Until You Come Back to Me, one of my favorite songs ever, and Stevie wrote this song along with a gentleman named Clarence Paul and another musician named Morris Broadnax. They were two Motown songwriters. Now, there's like conflicting accounts of how old Stevie was when he wrote this song, but he might have been like 13 or 14, which is crazy. You know what I mean? It's very young for a song that's this emotionally sophisticated, you know, and musically sophisticated. So Aretha Franklin takes this song and her version takes it to like a whole other level, right? The song is about trying to win back a lover. And if you think about it in context, maybe a man singing this would be like a little cringy, you know what I mean? Like lyrically.
Sure.
But I think that having a woman sing it and someone like Aretha, who was such a great interpreter of songs and could really connect with a song thematically and emotionally, her version takes like that stalkerish edge off of it. And we just have this gorgeous, yearning, like elegantly written song. It's so beautiful.
Here's Aretha Franklin, Until You Come Back to Me on World Cafe. Co-written by Stevie Wonder. That was Until You Come Back to Me, performed there by Aretha Franklin. This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras talking with John Morrison on the Culture Corner about Stevie Wonder's work as a songwriter. And John, you said that when Aretha recorded Until You Come Back to Me, it added a different dynamic to the song. Can you talk about Stevie Wonder's track record of writing songs for women?
Yeah, Stevie's songs are adaptable in a lot of different musical scenarios, but gender in particular. A lot of his songs were performed by like the classic Motown girl groups, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, the Marvelettes, the Supremes. They all recorded versions of Stevie Wonder songs. And during that classic run of 70s albums, solo albums that Stevie was putting out, he wrote and co-wrote a handful of absolutely beautiful records with his then wife, Syreeta Wright. And I just think that Stevie, his songs really benefit from these brilliant women taking the material that he gave them and adding just like a different color and a different flair to it.
We're going to hear another song he co-wrote in a second. What can you tell us about Rufus and Chaka Khan's Tell Me Something Good?
Tell Me Something Good. It's such a fun song. It's a slow, funky song. It's real sultry. The lead vocal has this kind of like winding, descending melody that you hear on a lot of Stevie songs. It's kind of like characteristic of his lead melody writing. And Chaka just digs into it as she does. She's another person like Aretha that I said earlier, who's a great interpreter of other people's songs and compositions. And yeah, Chaka just like gets into the song and makes it her own.
Tell Me Something Good. It's Rufus and Chaka Khan on World Cafe. Tell Me Something Good, Rufus and Chaka Khan. This is World Cafe. It's the Culture Corner with John Morrison. I'm Raina Duras. We're talking about Stevie Wonder's work as a songwriter. Earlier, we talked about how Motown served as a community that really helped nurture Stevie Wonder as a young artist. Another artist who came to Motown at a young age was Michael Jackson. Can you talk about Michael and Stevie's relationship and how they worked as collaborators?
Yeah, Stevie and Michael Jackson's similarities are very interesting to me. They both came from very similar circumstances, both of them Black Midwesterners, Stevie from Detroit, of course, and Michael from Gary, Indiana. And they were both really young geniuses who grew up in this environment in Motown. It was probably the best musical training ground that you could get for Black music at the time. And, you know, despite this and despite having great success with Motown and in that Motown system, both Michael and Stevie kind of had to eventually carve out their own path musically and creatively. In the early 1970s, Stevie, of course, rebelled against the Motown system famously and kind of took that process of music making away from this system, this by-committee system of producers and songwriters and arrangers that Barry Gordy had established at Motown. Stevie broke away from that. And then, you know, that's when we get Music of My Mind and you know, Talking Book and all of these records in during that 70s run. And toward the end of the 70s, Michael Jackson did a very similar thing. He had seen the great artistic achievements that Stevie had made throughout the 70s by doing it on his own in his own way. And Michael Jackson really, in a lot of ways, wanted that for himself. So by 1979, Michael released Off the Wall. And really, that album set the tone for Michael as a creative force moving forward and somebody who had autonomy over his own creativity. And of course, one of the best songs on Off the Wall is I Can't Help It, which was co-written by Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, what can you tell us about that song before we hear it?
I Can't Help It, beautiful song. It was written by Stevie Wonder and Suze Green of the Supremes. And the story goes that Stevie Wonder sat down at the keyboard, he played the chords and hummed out the vocal melody, and Suze jumped in and wrote the lyrics to it. And the end result is gorgeous. It's this beautiful, dreamlike love song. There's still nothing that really sounds like it in the world. And of course, you know, once Michael got to it, he did the vocal and just knocked it out the park.
Here's Michael Jackson, I Can't Help It. This is World Cafe.
Looking in my mirror, took me by surprise. I can't help but see you running often through my mind. Helpless like a baby since your disguise. I can't help but love you. It's getting better all the time. I can't help it if I wanted to. I wouldn't help it even if I could. I can't help it if I wanted to. I wouldn't help it, no. I can't help it if I wanted to. I wouldn't help it even if I could.
I Can't Help It. It was Michael Jackson, song co-written by Stevie Wonder. I'm talking to John Morrison on the Culture Corner on World Cafe today. My name's Raina Duras, and we are talking about Stevie Wonder and his work as a songwriter. There's lots to be said about Stevie Wonder's legacy, just in general, in music and popular culture. But what can we take away from Stevie Wonder's legacy as a songwriter specifically?
Yeah, Stevie probably wasn't the world's first, like, musical auteur or whatever, but you can't argue that he wasn't the greatest, right? His songwriting, it goes hand in hand with like all the stuff that he did pioneering the use of electronic instruments, which goes hand in hand with this grander vision that he had for all of these songs that he wrote for himself and for others. It's really kind of mind-blowing to think about just this classic body of work and all of these brilliant songs that Stevie has written. And I think that it goes to show you just how deep not only his own genius was, but Motown, which nurtured him, and then the broader Detroit music community that produced Motown. Like a lot of the stuff that we talk about during these segments, it's a beautiful continuum that we still benefit from today.
John, thank you so much for the stories and putting it all in context, as always. It's so great to have you.
Yeah, it's a blast every time. Thank you, Raina.
John Morrison is a podcast host and the host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. He joins me every month for the Culture Corner. I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.